100% of the California wines tested on behalf of moms across America were found to contain the weed killer glyphosate. And so we ask, why is weed killer in 100% of the wine?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 1,141st edition of Food Chain right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Lyon who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio. Folks, if you were to browse about the MetroFarm.com website, you might see a photo of yours truly working the betweens of some young Cabernet vines in the Rogue Valley of Southern Oregon. That fancy French cultivator attached to the Kubota tractor in the photo was designed to slide beneath the soil surface and separate weeds from their roots, then automatically retract at each vine. Of course, nothing attached to a working tractor is automatic for very long, and so yours truly soon became the retractor for each vine, which, man, that's a lot of work. But we were growing organic grapes, and so we're willing to fight the weeds in such a labor-intensive manner. Most everyone thought we were crazy. Spray the damn weeds and be done with it, they advised. Those southern Oregonians were very practical people at the time. What took us a week took them a day. Seems like that practicality has won out most everywhere. In fact, about 2 million tons of the weed killer glyphosate, trade name Roundup, have been sprayed on America's croplands. Let me repeat that because I'm sure you didn't get it. 2 million tons of glyphosate. 2 million tons. And so, glyphosate is now found in our water, in our air, in our food, and even in our mother's milk. Speaking of mother's milk, 100% of the California wines tested for moms across America contained the weed killer glyphosate, including the organic biodynamic wine from vines that were never, ever sprayed with herbicides or pesticides. And so today, we ask, why is weed killer in 100% of California wines? Here to hold us up to that question, we have Zen Honeycutt, who is the founder and executive director of Moms Across America. Zen, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you to all your listeners. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Yes, and nice. Moms Across America. When I saw that title, I thought, wow, it sounds familiar because I have met other moms who are involved in other organizations similar to yours. What is it about moms and GMOs?
Well, we're fed up with our food supply being poisoned by toxins and foreign proteins, which are GMOs, and the related pesticides, because our kids are sick. One out of two of our children in America now have a chronic illness, if you include asthma, autism, autoimmune disease, all kinds of diabetes, obesity. It's a serious problem in America. We have a chronic illness issue, and we are sick too. The adults are sick, and we've got one out of two males and one out of three females that are expected to get cancer in America today. And lo and behold, we're spraying a carcinogen and a chemical which causes neurotoxicity, liver disease, endocrine disruption, which can lead to infertility and birth defects, and neurotoxicity, mental illness problems. We're spraying this chemical on our food crops and our wine, our grape crops.
Something tells me the moms aren't going to put up with this and putting up a little fight here. Moms Across America, what are you? Who are you? That's a big organization, Moms Across America. That's a lot of people.
Yeah. We are a national coalition of unstoppable moms. We're a 501c3 nonprofit. We've been around for 5 years now, and our motto is Empowered Moms, Healthy Kids. Our mission is to empower millions to educate themselves about GMOs and related toxins, to offer GMO-free and organic solutions, because we've got enough problems, we need solutions, And through supporting local leadership, we create healthy communities together. And that means we send out flyers, materials, buttons, stickers, T-shirts, whatever you need in your local area to support you, to raise awareness, you know, to have booths at your Earth Day events or to march in 4th of July parades, or to simply hand out flyers at your mom's club meeting. And we have many supporters that are not moms. We have all kinds of people who support our organization, and we're so grateful to the movement that's just sweeping the nation. You know, we've got organic food is growing in the marketplace three times faster now than conventional food. So we are seeing a huge uprising of demand for organic food, and I think this is largely due to the moms who buy 85% of the food.
Amen to that. What about you? What about Zen Honeycutt? What was your epiphany moment when you had the apple fall on your head and you say, that's it, I'm done, we're going to war?
Well, I guess there's a lot of different, you know, times when it sort of crept up on me that this something's got to change. But I have to say one of the biggest moments came when my son, who was 8 years old at the time, was dealing with allergies, had a red rash around his mouth, and which had been going on for months, on and off, for 2 weeks at a time. And this was years after he almost died from eating a pecan and Thanksgiving stuffing, right? We had just been dealing with these allergies for a very long time, life-threatening allergies. But when he was about 8.5 years old, he looked at me very forlornly across the breakfast counter and said, Mom, I wish all these allergies would go away. And I said, me too, buddy. But in my head, I was saying, that's never going to happen. We're just going to have to deal with this. But then I sort of heard myself, and I thought, that's really resigned, and it's not empowering, and that's not who I am, and that's not what I'm committed to. So I thought, what if something else was possible? What if his allergies could get better? And I thought, you know what? Let's create something here. Let's see this as an opportunity. So I asked my son, Ben, would you like to be able to say, eat a slice of pizza a year from now at a birthday party? He's like, yes. And I said, because he couldn't at the time. And I said, would you be my partner in your health? Like, would you drink green drinks and go to alternative doctors? Like, would you partner with me on this? And he said, yes. And I said, then I promise you, buddy, you will get better.
Did he?
That was scary.
Did he?
Yes. Yes, he did. Within 4 months.
He got his pizza?
Well, he didn't want it a year later, actually. He only eats organic now. He's even vegan. But within 4 months, his allergies dramatically declined. You could no longer see this big red line around his mouth when he ate that allergen, which was, to him, was carrageenan. And within about a year or two, I don't remember the exact date, but his allergies went from a 19 down to a 0.2.
Wow.
And that is no longer life-threatening. And the doctors say that nut allergies usually get worse. They don't get better. They become, you know, even more life-threatening. So we healed his gut by eliminating GMOs, by having him eat organic, by introducing good probiotics in the form of fermented food.
So you were looking at his gut.
Everything has to do with the gut. Any inflammation, disease, mental illness, all of these issues, infertility even, mood disorders, bipolar, diabetes, obesity, all of this stems from the gut in most cases, I would say. And that is because the gut is where the good bacteria, there's bad bacteria that have their jobs, but the bacteria in the gut is where the hormones are stored.
All the bugs in our belly.
Yeah, and they're so important, and they have, and for instance, just one example, is serotonin is stored and held in the gut, and serotonin is what regulates insulin. So what's going to happen if you destroy the good gut bacteria with glyphosate, which is the declared active chemical ingredient in Roundup, which is sprayed on GMOs, right, and many other foods. So if you destroy the gut bacteria with glyphosate, which has been proven to do, then you're destroying the body's ability to store and make serotonin. And without serotonin, you can't regulate insulin. When you can't regulate insulin, what's going to happen? Diabetes.
Big trouble.
And you won't be able to regulate your mood. You know, you're going to feel less satiated, less happy. You might lead to depression or bipolar or even acts of violence.
You might need some psychotropic drugs or maybe some opioids and all of the other things. And pretty soon, away you go.
Which which can lead to mass murders, which can lead to violence, which can lead to school shootings. So it all comes from the gut, and we need to be addressing this issue now more than ever. We have 1 out of 5 Americans have mental illness.
Well, let's pick that up. But where I'd like to start is the wine, because that's what knocked me over the head, and it was a great piece of publicity. 100% of the wine you tested or was tested for you came back positive. 100% of the California wines came back testing positive for glyphosate weed killer, even those wines that came from organic biodynamic vineyards. Doesn't make any sense. That's where we're going when we get back from this coming break with Zen Honeycutt, founder and executive director of Moms Across America. Found a way to bring her son back, and she wants to bring all the rest of us back as well. I want you to stay tuned. We will be right back with Zen Honeycutt and you after these messages.
Here's a little secret I'm telling you. Take a little pledge called the 2x2. Spend $2 on local food each day and get 2 friends to do the same and play. Oh, they'll spend their money, and when they're through, they'll get 2 friends and do it too.
We can eat our way to economic security and personal freedom. It won't cost an extra dime, and it will be so easy, it will make you blush. All it takes is 2 numbers. One is 2, the other is 2-2. Join us. Take the 2x2 pledge.
There's a little secret I shared with you, a simple pledge called the 2x2. You can do it. It don't cost much. It's so easy, it'll make you blush. Pledge 2 local bucks each day. Get 2 others to pledge and play.
Take your 2x2 pledge at MetroFarm.com.
2x2. And now, back to What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Welcome back, folks. Can you believe it? 100% of the California wines tested for Moms Across America came back testing positive for weed killer. Why is weed killer in 100% of California wines? Zen, how on earth did you come about doing this study? And of course, you didn't test all the wines in California, but you did a representative sample from Napa and Sonoma, Mendocino counties, and 100% of those you tested came back positive. What led you to do this study?
Well, actually, I want to just make it clear that another supporter, a supporter of Moms Across America, did this testing and gave us the data to put out to our supporters and the public, because they knew we had a great interest in glyphosate, and we had started the glyphosate testing in urine and water and breast milk a year or two before, and so he gave us this information.
Why was he anonymous?
Because he lives in the area and he has people there. He's very concerned about the health issues that are befalling, especially the women. The breast cancer rates in the wine country are statistically significantly higher. I don't know the exact number, but it's much higher in the wine country than in other areas. And glyphosate has been linked to the stimulating the growth of breast cancer cells. So this person sent me the information, but without the brand names of the wines and what their test results were, just the types of wines and where they came from. And 100% of them, yes, were positive. We were really stunned because we've tested, for instance, say, Pediasure feeding tube liquid. Pediasure feeding tube liquid, which is given to children with cancer, 20 samples, and only 6 of them were positive. So to have 12 samples of different wines come back all positive is very scary indeed. And considering that the organic and biodynamic were positive as well, this shows a systemic, widespread problem that we have across the United States. Meaning these crops are being contaminated not because the farmers are spraying in between the rows of vines, you know, during the dormant season, which happens with conventional crops. It's happening, this contamination is happening either through the air, the rain, the irrigation water, or least likely any manure, you know, fertilizer that is put on the crops. And that's the least likely one, because the grape growers that I've talked to say they don't do that. So it's probably happening through the rain, and that is not something that is controllable by any count. The only way to stop that is for the EPA to revoke the license of glyphosate, and that is up for consideration right now. The EPA has a docket out right now that you can comment on, and we have that on our Facebook page, on Moms Across America Facebook page, that you can link to and comment that you do not want glyphosate re-registered, because otherwise we're going to continue having this contamination issue.
Yeah, so let's look at some of these levels. The highest level of glyphosate contamination you found was 18.74 parts per billion. Now, until recently, the federal government allowed up to 20 parts per billion in food. And so you're right here at almost at 19%, which means that the amount of glyphosate in the highest levels in California wines was approaching that high-end number allowed by the federal government, which of course then changed it, doubling the amount of glyphosate allowed in the body. So now it's, instead of it's 20, it's 40 parts
per million. Well, actually, the federal government actually allows up to 30 parts per million, which is much higher of glyphosate in residues and such as
I read this wrong then. 30
yeah,
parts per
grain.
Million?
Yeah, 30 parts per million. They allow much higher levels. So, you know, we haven't found that high of levels. We haven't seen those levels in food, but because they allow that amount, you have to assume that it is there. For instance, corn used to be only allowed 2.5 parts per, 2.5 parts per million of glyphosate, and what was found was 13 parts per million of glyphosate, and just in that year when that level was found, there was a report sent to me by a corn farmer in Canada showing that they had tested corn and 13 parts per million of glyphosate was found in their corn. So we believe those levels are set because people like Monsanto are growing these crops, they're testing them, and they're finding out which levels are going to show up in their crops, and then they tell the EPA, look, these levels are safe, and you need to raise your levels, which is what they did in 2013. They raised some levels of glyphosate residues 300 times. And so since 2013, you must assume that you are consuming higher levels of glyphosate. Also in 2013, the amount of glyphosate herbicides that were used jumped 73% in 1 year alone. And we believe this is because weed resistance has been showing up. So the farmers just use more and more and more. And they're being encouraged to use glyphosate as a drying agent, meaning that they spray the crops before harvest in order to uniformly dry them out and be able to harvest them faster, such as wheat, peas,
sure.
legumes.
It's become a desiccant for all of, uniformly. It's a clever tool in all respects if you're a farmer. But if you're eating the stuff or drinking the stuff, not so certain. How did the glyphosate get in organic wines from a biodynamic organic vineyard that had never been sprayed? Then rain?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, we believe it's through the rain or the irrigation water, but we don't know. It has been tested and found positive to be in irrigation water and rain. It's also found in the soil from previous crops. They could be growing in land that, you know, previously was sprayed with glyphosate, although with this area, I don't believe so. I believe they've been very well established and they've been there for a long time. So it's very concerning because this chemical is showing up to be, it's pretty much ubiquitous. It's showing up in almost everything that's being tested, including many organic products. Now, I do want to point out it's not all organic products. There are many organic products that have been tested where glyphosate has not shown up. And there were two vineyards that were brave enough to test after we came out with our report. La Roca is one, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of the other one, but it's on our website. If you look at our blogs, you can find them. They did test, and their levels were undetectable for glyphosate.
Oh, good. So there is hope in the world. Let me ask you this.
Let me ask you this,
Zen Honeycutt, founder and executive director of Moms Across America. How is it that the Monsanto Corporation is able to regulate the federal government in the way it does with respect to the glyphosate levels?
Well, they have a lot of influence within the EPA, within the FDA, within the White House. I mean, the former Monsanto executive officer was Obama's right-hand man in food. He was the head of one of the food agencies, and there's a revolving door.
Would that
Michael
be the
Taylor?
Yeah, Michael Taylor. There you go.
Yeah, that was Michael Taylor. Yeah, so a lot of regulations were not put in place, we believe, because Michael Taylor was in office there for so long or in that position. So they have a lot of influence, and there's been shown through lawsuits that Monsanto employees and EPA employees have been colluding for a very long time to cover up this information that glyphosate has been shown to be carcinogenic and many other harmful issues. So it's very sad. It's not just the fox guarding the hen house that's going on here. The fox is in the hen house, and he's feasting away.
And they weren't just colluding with Russians either, right?
This whole Russian thing is a brilliant strategy on behalf of the GMO proponents to try to link Russians with anti-GMO people. They're trying to make being anti-GMO, being anti-American.
I was just kidding. I didn't think that Russians could possibly figure into this. But when we come back, we can pick it up.
Okay.
Folks, this is the 1,141st edition of the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson with Zen Honeycutt and you. Today we're talking about the weed killer in the wine. How on earth did weed killer get in 100% of the California wines tested by moms across America? A tough, tough question. And when we come back, what happens when we eat glyphosate? Do stay tuned. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, Zen Honeycutt, and you. Welcome back, folks. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson here with Zen Honeycutt. Today we're talking a little bit about the little bit of glyphosate that's found in just about everything. Is it not anywhere anymore, Zen?
Well, I'm sure there's areas where there, you know, crops that are not contaminated by glyphosate. We do need to do further testing to, you know, find food that is safe. There are food manufacturers that are working very hard to protect their crops. But one does need to be aware and be careful, because what happens is glyphosate is herbicides, you know, known as Roundup and many other names. There's about 750 different brand names now. It's sprayed, particularly for the grape growers. They use it in between the vines during the dormant season, and the glyphosate goes into the soil, and the vines uptake the glyphosate into the plant, and it goes into the grapes. This is what is how it's described by Dr. Don Huber, who is a 50-year plant pathologist who spoke on this subject, and you can find his talks on YouTube. And so the glyphosate's getting into the wine not because Roundup is sprayed over the crop, right, because that would kill the plant. It's not genetically engineered to withstand Roundup.
But it's used, it's used to do the work I was doing by hand or with my Kubota tractor and my weed evader. You know, we'd go in there and get between each vine and cut down the weeds. And why do that when you can just spray? It's so easy. It's just so easy. And that is the secret to understanding why 2 million tons of this stuff have been dumped on our crops. Is it makes life easy for farmers. It makes it so easy, but we have to eat it. What happens when we eat it? Having covered the story for many years from many different angles, I've come to the conclusion that there are four areas of concern. Maybe Zen can help us understand them. First of all, glyphosate is a mineral chelator, right?
Yes, absolutely. And what that means is it holds or makes unavailable the vital nutrients of any living thing it touches. So if you're wondering why you're suddenly showing up to be vitamin D deficient or vitamin B12 deficient, or you're tired, you're run down, it's probably because you're vitamin and mineral deficient. So I would go out and get a blood test if you have any health issues and check that out and see. And then consider, are you eating glyphosate in your food? Are you eating food that is not organic?
And so it was the original patent on glyphosate, as I understood, was for a pipe cleaner. You could put it in industrial pipes, and it would bind up with all the minerals that collect inside the pipe, and then you could flush the pipe through. So essentially,
You
know, what it does is that it binds up all of those minerals that our body needs and takes them away. You don't get them. They're gone.
And this is really important to understand for any function of your body. If you don't have certain minerals, it won't be able to function properly, or for a baby to be able to develop, or for a man who's trying to impregnate his wife, the glyphosate particularly likes zinc, and zinc is a main component in semen. And without the proper levels of zinc in semen, the sperm won't be able to function properly, they won't develop properly, they might even be deformed. And so what we're seeing now is levels of sperm quality and semen quality in men to be 50% lower.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong. It's 50. Lower. It's 52%.
Okay, so it's more than 50% lower than what it was for your grandparents, and we're seeing levels of the ability for men to reproduce naturally for their to have viable semen dramatically dropping around the world. In China, the certain areas where they tested men over a period of I believe 15 years. And if this current rates continue at this rate of the decline of their semen quality, within 6 years, these men in China will not be able to reproduce naturally. And in areas of Africa, it's somewhere around 17%. And in the U.S. and the U.K. and Australia, it's around 25 years.
Well, so, when I did this story, it was really interesting. The statistic was that the more developed or the more the population used foods from industrial sources, the higher the rate of infertility was. And the less of the industrialized foods that were eaten, the less the amount of infertility was. So there was a direct correlation there. And that leads me to the second area of concern, was that glyphosate is an endocrine disruptor, which does mess up our body's hormones, which does have an impact on our ability to reproduce. But it also has all kinds of impacts on our... I'm wondering about precocious puberty. Have you ever...
Yes. When you start messing with hormones in the body, all kinds of things can happen. We've got seven-year-olds that are growing... girls that are growing breasts and getting their periods in America today.
How old?
This is seven.
Seven?
7 to 9 years old. Yes. I have friends who have posted that they have had to buy their seven-year-old daughters bras and going through, the menstrual cycle. So something is happening. Something is amiss in our food supply and our water. And we believe it is the endocrine-disrupting chemicals. And glyphosate's not the only one. Apparently, there are hundreds of them in the U.S. that are allowed by the EPA in our food supply and water. And in Europe, they only allow three. So we have something funky going on with our EPA just willy-nilly allowing chemical companies to use whatever chemicals they want. You realize there's been 80,000 chemicals that have been allowed by the EPA since the 1940s, and only 12 of them have been restricted or banned. So when you do the math on that, that's like a 99.999% chance.
Wait a minute. 80,000 chemicals have been approved. 12 have been restricted?
Or banned. Only 12. Yeah. So you can find that information on the EPA website. We are being inundated by toxic chemicals. These chemical companies are poisoning America systematically, and our health decline shows proof of that we are being poisoned.
But there is no proof of why men are losing their fertility or why young girls at the age of seven are...
Well, I would beg to differ. There are many studies that show endocrine disruption and hormone issues. There's no test on human beings. When I asked the EPA this, I've been to the EPA twice and spoken directly with the directors of the pesticide re-review division that are trying to reapprove glyphosate. And they said, we have hundreds of studies showing safety. And I said, not on humans, you don't. And they said, well, of course not. It's not ethical to test pesticides on humans.
Can you hold that thought, Zen? We're going to take a quick break, one more quick break. When we come back, Zen Honeycutt, founder and executive director, Moms Across America, and you. So, hey, do stay tuned. When we get back, we're going to go to the other two things we find disturbing about glyphosate, and they are scary, only if you are human, right back.
So much to say, so little time to say it, on The Food Chain with Michael Olson.
And we wonder, what exactly did the federal government say when you approached them and said, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this glyphosate business? And they said, no, there can't possibly be anything wrong because we have the studies that prove it. And how did you respond to them, Zen?
Well, I said, you don't on humans. You don't have studies on humans. And they said, well, of course not. It's not ethical to test pesticides on humans. And I said, well, if it's not ethical to test pesticides on humans, why is it ethical to allow it in our food supply? And they didn't have an answer for mm-hmm. that. And the next time I went back, I asked them, do you have any long-term animal studies with blood analysis, meaning 2 years?
No, 90 days.
On glyphosate herbicides. And they said, which one? You know, I said, I actually specifically asked on Roundup. And they said, which one? There are many different brands. I said, any of them. And they said, no, not that we're aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
I said, how can you claim that it's safe? And they ended the meeting. So here's the thing you need to understand, folks, is that the EPA does not require long-term animal studies on the final formulation. They only require safety studies, which come from the chemical companies which make them, right, on one declared active chemical ingredient in the product, only one ingredient, so not the final formulation. So as that product sits on the shelf in your hardware store or as it's sprayed on your food, it has never been proven to be safe, and no one can tell you that it is.
Did you ever ask them about the long-term study Seralini did in Italy with respect to the rats, the Seralini rat studies? Whereas most rat studies go 90 days and say, see, the rat ate this for 90 days and it's fine. Seralini tested the rats to term, which is to the end of their life, and most all of them had giant tumors on them. And, of course, he was roundly chased out of science for that. But as I understand it, most of the safety efficacy studies are done with one ingredient, probably glyphosate, over a short period of time, 90 days. And that's, to me, a definite cause for concern. But going back to our list of concerns, antibiotics. Glyphosate has been patented as an antibiotic. So what happens when we're continually consuming, unwittingly, of course, low dosages of antibiotics?
Well, two things that are really important. One is an antibiotic just destroys the beneficial gut bacteria in the body, and glyphosate has been shown to preferentially destroy the beneficial gut bacteria and allow for the pathogenic gut bacteria like E. coli to flourish. And so what happens when you have an imbalance of pathogenic gut bacteria, on the outer walls of the pathogenic gut bacteria, there's something called lipopolysaccharides. And those lipopolysaccharides, their job is to signal the vagus nerve, which starts in the gut and goes up to the brain, and they tell the immunoglia cells to go on attack. So it's like bad guy in the gut, and the brain says, go on attack. But when it goes on attack, it creates something called glutamate, which is an excitotoxin, and that excitotoxin can excite the brain neurons and tire them out, and they can die. And so we believe this is why children suddenly develop like tics or stammers, or they don't make eye contact, or they lose focus. Or people in their 40s and 50s are developing dementia because their brain neurons are dying from this inflammation in the brain due to the overgrowth of pathogenic gut bacteria in their gut. And this has been supported by when adults take out wheat and, you know, glyphosate-sprayed wheat and all kinds of dairy, which has been shown to have glyphosate in it, from, you know, cows fed GMOs and glyphosate, when they take out certain foods and eat organic, these children, their gut bacteria gets more balanced out, and suddenly they can sleep better, they can focus better, they can make eye contact. And we've had, I don't know, maybe thousands of now, at least hundreds of reports from moms whose children are autistic that recover many of their abilities after going organic. That is a major factor. So paying attention to the gut bacteria is super important. And then the second way is when you destroy the beneficial gut bacteria and allow for the proliferation of the pathogenic gut bacteria, you're developing a resistance to antibiotics as well. So if you put in antibiotics, say your son comes down with MRSA from a football field, which has happened to children, if you put an antibiotic in to kill off these superbugs, the body will not respond, because you've built up a resistance to antibiotics by being exposed to antibiotics continuously through pretty much every meal. You get to develop an antibiotic resistance. Yeah.
Wow. So we got a minute or so here, but that there was the final issue, and the final issue is the glyphosate has been determined by the World Health Organization to be a probable cause of cancer. Now, that's been a pretty tough one, because when the World Health Organization holds it up and says it's a probable cause of cancer, and then states like California start saying, well, what we better do is figure out a way of banning it. So Monsanto, of course, is fighting this tooth and nail. And where's that going to end up?
Well, okay, so I want to clarify that the World Health Organization, the branch IARC, International Agency for Research on Cancer, with world-renowned scientists, found that glyphosate is a carcinogen to animals and is a probable carcinogen to humans. And in this consideration, you must consider that the co-formulants of glyphosate herbicides have been shown to be 1,000 times more toxic than glyphosate. So if you put all of that information together, it has been shown.
Okay, hold that. We have to take one last break, and when we come back, we'll finish it. What is it? Great. A cancer causer. Right back. Well, folks, the World Health Organization and other organizations say that glyphosate does cause cancer, and that just adds another to the list of things that are of concern with this weed killer. And it's a ubiquitous weed killer. We've dumped 2 million tons of it on our croplands to control weeds, and it has become one of the principal tools of our agriculture. As a matter of fact, this one chemical allows a farmer to grow 1,000 acres of crops with no weeds. Incredible. And so if from agriculture's point of view, it's a miracle. But for those of us who eat the food produced by that agriculture, we're kind of looking at all of these other things and going, what are we going to do? So Zen Honeycutt, founder and executive director of Moms Across America, what are you going to do?
Well, we are going to continue sharing and raising awareness about GMOs and related pesticides such as glyphosate around the country and around the world, because we believe the moms who buy 85% of the food are the ones to transform this food system. If enough of us rise up and say, no, we do not want GMO chemical farming, we do not want toxins on our food, if we don't buy it, they can't sell it. So we simply ask everyone and everyone who has a mom or is a mom to go to momsacrossamerica.org and to sign up for our newsletter to get our calls to action and to be supported by all the great information that we have on our website from scientists, doctors, lawyers, farmers. And for instance, one place I want to direct you to go to is our action page, which has a toxin-free town link as well. And then there, if you want to get glyphosate-based herbicides out of your town, meaning sprayed on your streets and sidewalks and parks and playgrounds, it's not just the food that we need to be concerned about. We need to get it out of our playgrounds where our children play. And so if you want to take action in that area, we have a lot of support for you there. We have talking points, we have flyers, we have steps that you can take to get glyphosate-based herbicides out of your town. And then if you want to get it out of your food, we simply recommend that you buy organic food.
But, organic wines you found had glyphosate in them.
Very small. So I want to point out that the levels found in conventional wines were 26 times higher than that found in organic wine. So the amounts in organic wines were low. And now I don't want to say that means it's not scary or could be potentially harmful, because very low levels, in fact, one part per trillion, which is one drop in the equivalent of 22 Olympic-sized swimming pools, was found to stimulate the growth of breast cancer cells. So any amount of glyphosate...
Wait a minute.
One
more time on that one.
One part per trillion, which is equivalent to one drop in 22 Olympic-sized swimming pools, yes, is one part per trillion. That's the, just to put that in your mind of how much, you know, glyphosate that would be, simply one drop. That amount has been found to stimulate the growth of breast cancer cells by a study by a man named Tong Prakasong, and that's from either Philippines or Thailand. That's on our website. And that, so that very tiny amount, and nanoparticles has been shown, I believe it was 4 parts per billion, the equivalent of, has been shown to cause liver disease, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And in America today, 1 out of 10 Americans has liver disease. So we're talking very tiny amounts can cause harm in people. And we don't know why it causes harm in some versus other. It may have something to do with the functionality of your liver.
But it certainly does. Well,
yeah, MTHFR gene, which has an impact on how your body can detox.
So, folks, you got to tune in with Moms Across America against glyphosate and join the fight, I guess, because one part in trillion doesn't sound very good for anybody. Thank you, Zeb.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends missed the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.